sometimes people ask me where you get your sermon ideas from. Come from various places. Might just be something that's been in casual conversation or a question that may have been asked in a Bible class or just from my own reading. And sometimes, like a while back, just or several weeks ago, just giving a lesson on the watchman from the book of Ezekiel, just a couple chapters over, just kind of reading this more about Ezekiel. I said, oh, there's the Valley of Dry Bones. I'm going to preach on that. So sometimes you just find stories, or you just remember an Old Testament or New Testament story. You know, I think I'll give a lesson on that. We talked about Ahab and Jezebel last Sunday night. So I thought, well, I remember another Old Testament story that I don't think I've ever given a lesson on. It's kind of an interesting story. So, and I want to hear it again myself.
There you go.
So I said, you'll just have to share in my curiosity or wanting to reread that story. But I titled it, this is a day of glad tidings. A lot of preachers use this story to kind of give the illustration of evangelism, so it's not necessarily new or unique or different. But pretty much it has a singular theme. You can look down through the outline and see where the lessons, the points of the lesson on just outreach or evangelism, keeping our eyes open. But here's the background, or here's the story, and I just kind of summarized it for you. So the story is told in 2 Kings chapter 6, and I'll begin at verse 24, and I just have a summary even in my notes. But the man's name is Ben-Hadad, and he's king of Syria. Remember, Syria borders Israel on the north, so they're neighbors. And so he gathers, this Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathers his army, and he decides to besiege the city of Samaria. There's a country of Samaria too, but there's also a city in Samaria named Samaria. There was a famine in Samaria, and it wasn't very long till all the food was gone. The famine became so terrible that the head of this is actually in the Bible in 2 Kings chapter 6, the head of a donkey sold for 80 shekels of silver, and a small portion of dove's dung sold for 5 shekels of silver. Several women restored to cannibalism to stay alive. That's actually in the text. If you want to turn there and read the actual verses, because I'm just giving you the summary. So the king of Israel blamed the famine on God. That God caused this. So that ends chapter 6. Now chapter 7, verse 1. So God's prophet, Elisha, promises food when he's called before the king of Syria and the messenger. So he tells the king's messenger that the king sent to the prophet Elisha. Elisha tells the messenger, tomorrow there will be a measure of fine flour and 2 measures of barley, and they're only going to be sold for a shekel each. Not 5 or 80, just a shekel. There'll be plenty of food. Elisha also promises that the king's messenger would see this, however he would not eat of it. Beginning of verse 3, and I don't have the verses in your notes on the outline I gave you, but beginning of verse 3 in 2 Kings chapter 7, there were 4 lepers sitting outside the gates of Samaria. Remember the famine. So there's 4 lepers sitting outside the gates. They're faced with a rather grim decision. Shall we die where we sit, or shall we go into the city and die there with the rest of them, or shall we go to the Syrians and have them take our life, or maybe, the text says, they may spare our life. One of the lepers came up with the idea of going into the Syrian camp and ask for food. He said, if we're killed, what does it matter? We're going to die anyway. So when the lepers arrived at the camp of the Syrians, they found something that they had not expected. The Syrian army was gone. However, the Syrians left all their provisions. They had plenty. What the lepers did not know was that God had caused the Syrians to believe that a great army of confederated kings had gathered together to go to so frightened the Syrian army that they fled and they left everything, all their provisions. Well, when the lepers went to this Syrian army's camp that they deserted, they were overjoyed. They ran from tent to tent. They ate and they drank and they began to hide the treasure. In verse 9, which is the title of our text, or our lesson, one of the lepers says in so many words, I kind of summarized it, wait a minute, we do not well. We're not acting right. This is a day of good news. We must go and tell the others. So in verse 10, they went and told the king of Israel. And then for the next 10 verses, there's some dialogue back and forth. But in essence, Samaria is saved. And it was just as the word of the Lord promised that it would be. It took that place. So I just put kind of a summary for us before we get to some points to make. But the lepers, and this is a quote in your notes, the lepers had a message of good tidings. It was a message of plenty in time of scarcity. Remember, there's a famine. It was a message of hope in time of despair because the city of Samaria, the people in Samaria thought that the Syrians had surrounded them and they're going to die. The Syrian army was just going to starve them out. It was a message of divine power in a time of darkness. So here they are in despair and wondering, what are we going to do? And they're almost just about to everyone give up. But yet God intervenes. So the message for us is we have a gospel in our hands. We have a message of good news. A message of glad tidings. The gospel is the story from heaven of God's love for lost and starving people, spiritually starving people. So in verse 9, like the leper said, when they made that discovery, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. So they corrected that. They said, look what we have here. Let's share it. So I just put a couple kind of reminder notes or things to think about from this story in your notes. So number one, it was a message of deliverance from death, certain death. They were going to be starved. They were starved. But the lepers and the people in the besieged city, they were all under that sentence of death. This is it. Even the lepers thought, we'll die. Shall we die here or in Samaria or with the Syrians? We're going to die, though. It was a message of deliverance. Well, that's what we have in our hands. A message of deliverance. We have wonderful news. Romans 3, verse 23. Yes, all have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. But the good news is being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's good news. Yep, we stand. We're guilty as charged. In Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We know it's appointed that the man wants to die, Hebrews 9:27. But we don't have to die a second death or an eternal death. And that's the good news message. That's a salvation message. It's a message of deliverance that all of us pretty much here have experienced, and we need to share that. We can't just hoard it or hang on to it. So if what these lepers had was a message of deliverance from death, number one. Second, and so I kind of would re-quote verse 9 at each one of these points, we do not well. This is a day of glad tidings, and we hold our peace. We don't do well if that's what we're doing. So second, it was a message that sounded too good to be true. Whoa. In 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 12, and through verse 14, the king of Israel couldn't believe the news. You can fill in the blank on that story and read it from the Bible itself, but I didn't put it in your summary. But the king of Israel couldn't believe the news, thought it was a trap. But one of the servants said to the king, why don't we go see? But at first the king said, that will never happen. Syrians are still out there. So sometimes, even in your life and mine, when the gospel is preached, some people in the audience give the king's response. That's just too good to be true. Too good to be true. But we, like the servant or the messenger, says to the king, let's go see. Let's go see. And that means we need to have an investigation. That's what we want people to do. Search the scriptures. Let's go see. You know, let's see if the things that are being taught are so. Let's be like Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show ourselves approved unto God. You know, a workman. Let's do that. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, let's prove, or verse 21, let's prove all things and then hold fast to that which is good. So we want to encourage those who hear our message and say, oh, that's too good to be true. No, come and see. Come and see. I just put a verse in your notes, in John 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, I'm the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. Well, there's a spiritual message in that. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. I just put in your notes, really? Because that's a message that's too good. That some people will say, that's too good to be true. No, come and see. Come and see. So we do not well. This is the day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. So, too good to be true. Number three, it was a message of urgency. Urgency. Because they were starving. There was a high price just for food. A donkey's head? I'm going to buy that. A dove's dung? Nothing used for fire. Fuel. Wow. They resorted to cannibalism. One mother asked another, can I have your child that we may eat him? Is it in the text? So it's a message of urgency. In verse 9, if the leper said, they're still there, you know, we've seen all this, and they said, you know, if we tarry till the morning light, you know, if we sit on this good news, they said, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. So if we hold our peace, the lepers thought to themselves, something bad's going to happen to us. Let's not even wait till the morning light. Let's go and tell. So they went back to Samaria and told the king of Israel. Well, that's what we have. A good news, gospel, glad tidings message. And there's a sense of urgency. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2 says, behold, now is accessible time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Remember when Paul preached to Felix in Acts 24, verse 24? He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Felix trembled. He answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. The wrong answer. Sense of urgency for us to get that message out and for people to respond. Hebrews 4, verse 7 says, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today. There's a sense of urgency that we have to get that message to our family, friends, neighbors, community. When you get a large debt, keep that ripple going. County, state, nation in our world, you know, according to our ability. But the message of urgency. We do not well if we hold our peace. The last one's a message for everybody. Message for everybody. 2 Kings 7, verse 9. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. Let's tell everybody. And that's what the gospel is. It's the gospel for all. And we always have people that preachers or Bible class teachers say it's for the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's for all. It's an all the world message. All the world. You know, that's the commission in Mark 16, beginning verse 15. Go into all the world. In other words, don't leave anybody out. Go all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature so we don't get them in. All the world, every creature. So let's share that message. He that believes is baptized shall be saved. That's what you want. We're preaching a message of deliverance, a message of salvation. Yeah. grace. Titus 2, verse 7. Grace of God that brings salvation. That's right. So this is a day of glad tidings. And we do not well if we hold our peace. Now, I could add one more. The message was refused by some. In the story that was told, it was the messenger that the king of Syria, I mean the king of Israel, sent to Israel. That you brought this famine on. You go bring Elisha to me or give him a message, we're going to behead him. But then that's when Elisha gave him the good news. Tomorrow you will eat and you'll only pay a shekel. But you will not taste of it. No. It was a miracle. This man didn't live to see it. And that's tragic, even in our generation. People hear about the good news and they don't believe it, they die in their sins. Now that's not unusual. In Acts 17, beginning of verse 32, and Paul preaches, says, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we'll just hear this matter again, different time. So Paul departed from them. Message was delivered, but it wasn't taken to heart. Even in Jesus' ministry, in John 6, verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. So it's a message that is sometimes refused, and that's tragic. So we're going to add that to our lesson. Proverbs 27, verse 1, don't boast of tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow may bring. So we read this story of these lepers, four lepers at the gate. Famine in the land. And they decide, where do you want to die? Here in Samaria or in Syria? Syrian army. But they go out there and they realize that God caused the Syrians to believe something different, that there was going to be an army that was mightier than them. And so they ran, left their provisions. And that's what we have. We need to share that. So I must tell you about the spiritual food that lasts eternally. And that's our message. So always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. Is to those who have heard the gospel message and make a resolve or want to choose to respond to it. But like the people in the story, you need to respond. You need to believe. You know, and come to where the food is. The people in Samaria, they had to go out to where the Syrian army had their provisions. They couldn't stay in Samaria. The same way as Jesus said, come unto me. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. Light. So let's stand and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us.